say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And do you mind? It's a beautiful, we're pre-recording. What is today? Tuesday? It's gorgeous outside. I think the high is going to be, what, 84, they said?
Something like that.
It's
I think we're hitting a record.
Yeah, it is. Right? We're supposed to break a record.
Yeah, record breaking. It's wild. You can't help but be in a good mood, I think. When
it's beautiful.
You've got weather like this.
It's awesome.
Hopefully after work today, you can, you know, spend a little time outside or something.
Except, did you notice that the pollen is starting?
Yeah. Has it fallen? I haven't seen the green, yellow stuff yet on the car.
I started to see it a little bit on my windshield today. Boy. Today for the first time. And looking out here, Jeff, I see some leaves popping out of some of these trees. We don't have the flowers yet on the pine trees, but we're starting to see.
Well, today is what? March 15. Okay, I had I had my implant on February 11. So it's been, what, about 5 weeks? And everything great.
Awesome.
You know, people ask me, too, because they know that I had an implant, you know, friends of mine and so on. They ask me, like, you know, what's it really like? like it might not be different. Like, it might be different than what I'm saying on the radio, which
yeah,
it's not.
Tell us the real story.
Yeah, there is no real story.
No, there isn't.
Tell you what, you know, I've had MRIs done, you know, on my brain or whatever. I'd have this done 20 times before I'd get into that little coffin and get that MRI on my brain. They do it differently now, I understand. You know, kind of more open now, but
yeah.
This was the easiest thing I've ever had done, I think, it was easier than getting a tooth filled.
Uh-huh.
It was easier than having a crown. It was easier, I would say, than having a root canal. This was, you know,
as easy as a cleaning.
As easy as a cleaning.
Or easier.
Might even be easier. So, yeah.
I think it was easier than a cleaning.
It didn't take
just from
that
a
long.
Time perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zero discomfort.
Yeah.
Did you have to take one dose of any pain medication?
Sue, I think, gave me an ibuprofen one
just
at the end.
Just in case.
And you also, Doc, you gave me a prescription for something.
Just in case.
Right. Which I didn't use.
Most people don't.
Okay.
Most people don't need it.
Some people kind of look forward to that, you know, depending on what it is.
Most people don't need it. But Jeff, that this was by design. The way we designed our implant placements, we first of all, if we extract the tooth, we will preserve the soft and hard tissues with the graft, which makes it easier when we go to place the implant. And then we would take a CT scan so we can visualize the hard tissues underneath and any structures underneath that we need to visualize. And then I placed your implant using a completely incisionless technique. No incisions, no sutures. I made a tiny opening the size of your implant, and in that tiny opening, I placed the implant. That's why you had no discomfort. It was designed that way.
And the implant is what, titanium? Is that what you told me?
Yep, it's made out of titanium. The body fuses to that, and it has been a game changer in dentistry. It is by far and away the best way to replace a missing tooth today, by far.
Okay. Now, to us laymen, it sounds rather simple. But I've got to believe that it needs to be done, if you're going to get it done, because unfortunately I see a lot of advertising out there for implants in the newspaper, all kinds of crazy low prices. That, you know, where you say to yourself, this can't be. It's kind of like LASIK. Okay, so I had LASIK done, but I've seen in the newspaper all kinds of ads for LASIK for, you know, I don't know, $200 per eye or $290, and I say to myself, it can't be, and it isn't. from what you find out is that they try to, you know, upsell you and do all this other kind of stuff. But I guess what I'm saying is that this is something. It may seem simple to us laymen.
Yes,
but it's not simple.
No.
Not at all.
It's not simple, and there's a learning curve that takes years, if not a decade or more. And there are probably thousands of hours of continuing education involved and thousands of hours of experience that someone needs to be able to place implants in a seamless predictable fashion where someone can have an easy experience, and they could be placed in my hands. Probably about 70% of our single tooth implants today, we place them incisionless without making any incisions because of the experience, because of the way we've created the situation and the environment where we can do that.
Can you tell, maybe Sue, I should ask you this as well. There's a certain type of mentality among the patients such that when you meet the patient, you can tell whether they're going to be somebody who kind of rolls with the punches.
Oh, yeah.
Things don't bother them too much.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to somebody who's very, very sensitive.
Yes. You can tell that immediately. And we have actually taken time in our office to learn more about personalities of our patients so that we can respond and help them through, because everybody hears and learns what they need to from us in a different fashion. So someone who rolls with the punches can hear us during a learning consultation differently than someone who has fear, or someone who's very anal retentive, or someone who has a high dental IQ. You know, we really
high dental IQ.
Yeah.
You mean they
really know. They come in with a lot of dental knowledge.
Well, for instance, someone with an engineering background,
They
make great patients.
They ask the best questions.
Because they really want to understand the details.
Yes.
And they really do understand the details. And a lot of them did research beforehand.
Yeah.
Actually, you're that way. You know why I know that?
He is.
Because you once told me, we're talking about buying tires, and you said that, I said, there are a few nuts out there who actually examine the tread on the tires.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He does. You do.
I do.
But I always tell our patients, a good surgeon or a good dentist should be a good engineer, because you're thinking about the big picture, the little picture. You're rebuilding someone's mouth. You really have to approach it from what's going to be the best steps taken in the long run. Engineers think like that.
But it's also an art as well as a science, is it?
It's both.
It is. It's a terrific blend of art and science. Dentistry is.
I mean, I was going to say, Jeff, earlier when you were talking about your implant and Dr. Edelstein was referring to how minimally invasive it was. At that moment when we placed your implant in a very minimally invasive manner, it was the culmination of a lot of steps previously taken to make sure that happens. When you came in for your extraction, we extracted it in the most gentle manner, preserving the bone. Then we picked the right bone graft materials conducive to your site. It healed beautifully. When we took a CT scan, which is part of the planning, we verified our grafting results. When Dr. Edelstein did the CT scan, he did a virtual surgery. He already went to the exact implant library of the manufacturer that we were going to use for you, placed that implant virtually. So he already knew before he sat in the chair where your implant should sit in the bone and how he needed to angle that. So by the time we assemble to put that implant in, we've already taken a whole bunch of previous steps to make sure that happens.
Yeah.
And that's really what Dr. Edelstein was getting to. It can take a decade of, you know, it seems easy. Oh, there's a space. Let's just screw in an implant.
Right.
It's not that easy. It takes years. Your experience with extractions, your experience with different types of bone graft material. My God, that market's changing all the time.
It sure is.
How many reps do we have? We have a new bone graft. We have a new regenerative material. You really got to master those.
And there's a lot of, I'm going to call it postgraduate education, continuing education.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in my particular case, and we're not violating the HIPAA laws because I'm giving my approval here.
Yes.
Okay. you know, you did the procedure, I want to say it was in July or August, late August. Not the procedure, the extraction of my tooth.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Which was, this tooth was...
It was last summer.
This tooth was all but gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I remember the pocketing you said was a 10.
Yes.
Well, I thought that was very good, you know, a perfect 10.
You thought it was a perfect 10.
I got a 10.
not so much.
Yeah.
You did not have the Bo Derek of teeth.
That's right. And you said, well, let's shoot for Christmas time to do the actual implant. Mm-hmm. But I remember that you examined me a couple of weeks before that. I was getting a cleaning, and you said, you know something? It's not ready. Mm-hmm. Let's wait. That's a gift, isn't it? The gift of time?
The gift of time. I mean, that tooth was more infected than average. So we needed to give your body more time to heal. And if I'm not mistaken, we also used an additional regenerative protein during the process because we wanted you to have the best healing response possible. So we did that to you as a courtesy. We utilized an additional regenerative protein that's been shown to help the body turn the bone graft over into your own bone. And we did that because I thought it would heal better that way.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things, and again, I don't want to embarrass you, Dr. Edelstein, so maybe I'll kind of direct this to Sue, but you know, his reviews are amazing.
Yes.
You know, because I have a tendency not to trust these reviews because I think a lot of times they're, it could be a competitor or something that's going to say something bad, or it could be, you know, a family member saying something good, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm always a little leery about these reviews. And you've told me, I think you've told me, Dr. Edelstein, that whichever company is doing the reviews, Google's, you know, they have certain safeguards.
They have a very high authenticity factor. Google will absolutely ensure that those reviews are authentic. And I'm not sure about all the algorithms that they have, but they will know, for instance, if an office says, hey, every staff member today, right now, write a fake Google review. Google's computer system will know the IP address that it's coming from. And if they see 50 reviews coming from the same IP address,
right,
they're going to get on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but they're uniformly, your reviews are uniformly, I mean, these are not 3 stars. These are not 4 stars. They're uniformly pretty much about a 5-star. And it's amazing. You know, now my general practitioner that I go to, and I know him well and I love him, and I know he does a very good job. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's a very good doctor. His reviews are rather mixed. Now, it doesn't bother me when I see them because I know better, because I know him.
Right.
But I will say that his reviews are rather mixed. And you see people complaining about little, I don't know, just things that don't have that much relevance to his competence as a physician. But even the best of them sometimes have reviews that are mixed because you can't please everybody.
Right.
And yet, you're very hard-pressed to find a review about you that's less than stellar.
What I try to do more than anything is listen. And if someone, for any reason, had any part of their experience not ideal, I will listen. And I will do anything I can possible to address that and fix it. And sometimes it could have nothing to do with the procedure. Sometimes it could be that someone got an upset stomach because of the pain medication that we prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll contact them and we'll to make sure they're doing okay, and we'll call in something for nausea and to eliminate that issue.
Okay, now, the night that I had the extraction done, I got a phone call from Sue. Mm-hmm. You called me.
Uh-huh.
And you asked how I was doing, blah, blah, blah. Fortunately, I was doing fine.
Yeah,
I was doing great. And then when I had the implant, I got a call from Sue that night. Mm-hmm. This was February 11. I was already asleep. I went to sleep early. It was about 8:30 at night.
You're in bed early.
Well, I get up at like 4:30 in the morning and work out. Right. Although you told me not to work out for a day or two.
I think
you
said, I did.
Leave it.
Although, truthfully, I probably headed right to bed after I called. So I'm going to go to bed early.
Oh, are you too?
Yeah. Usually by 9 o'clock.
But you left me a message that you had checked in with me. You said you didn't answer the phone. It's probably a good sign. You know.
Yeah.
That was on a Thursday, the 11th, and then on Saturday,
yes,
the 13th, I got a call from you, Dr. Edelstein. Yes. I was a little surprised.
Well, you were shocked.
I'll
never forget when you picked it up. The first thing you said is, "Who's this?"
Yeah.
You didn't recognize my cell phone number.
Yeah, really.
Who is this?
Yeah. But you called me on a Saturday to see how I was doing.
Yes.
The reason I was surprised, though, is because I hadn't even thought about how I was doing because there was no issue there
at all. You were doing fine.
No issue. I remember I went to Walmart after I had the procedure done and bought a couple of things at Walmart, my wife and I. I mean, that's how, I didn't have to go and lay down or anything. It was wonderful.
By design. Again, by design.
And boy, I'll tell you what experience. You know, look, you have very good credentials as a physician, okay? So you went to Emory Dental School, you got postgraduate education at Penn, you went to Cornell undergrad. Still, experience as a great teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been in practice for what, 30 years?
Did you 30, tell me? 31 years. I've been a periodontist.
Well, you look pretty good for a guy who's been practicing for 31 years.
My knees are falling apart.
You know, I tell Sue looks great for somebody.
She does.
How long have you been in dentistry?
33 years.
Yeah, that's very hard to believe. Looking,
maybe, yeah. Yeah, that's right, 33.
Looking at you. When did you, what were you in,
good
third
Lord.
Grade when you started?
No, no. But I'm like him. My back will tell you I've been in it for 70 years. I mean, it's you feel it. You definitely feel it.
All right, guys, we have to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about some of these minimally invasive techniques that are top priority for the gum doc. You bill yourself as the gum doc. I like that.
We do.
Folks, visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com, for the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from the Piedmont Hospital. And Sue, of course, I always have to say at least once per show, next to the Darlington Apartments. Have you checked the latest population figures?
You know, today, Jeff, I took 5 minutes to put down some lunch, and I said to myself, check that sign when you leave today.
Mm.
But unless it's on a post-it note, in one ear and out the other.
Yeah.
I got to have a post-it note.
Me too. Increasingly so, but that's the subject of another show. Visit mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide, and we still have our new patient special, and it is $129. Actually, I took advantage of it. I want to tell people a story if they haven't heard this, and that is that we've been working together since, I think, around August, maybe early August of 2015. Mm-hmm. And after about the second show, because I didn't really know you that well, but after about the second show, I turned to you, and I think I said, I need to see you. I need to come to your office. I want you to look at me.
You sure did.
You know, I had some issues going on. And look, I think it's not, and I love my other dentist. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
We were good friends, and I thought he did a very good job with me. But gosh, I mean, is there anything wrong with getting a second opinion? I mean, you do it with your money. We do it when we
shop around for a car.
For a car, we get a second opinion.
See several homes before we purchase one.
I don't see anything wrong, especially, look, I got to say, as we get older, you know, after about age 35, I mean, what's the percentage of people who have some form of gum disease?
Over age 35, 50% of the American population has some type of gum disease.
How about over 50? You're going to make me sick.
Over 65, yeah. It goes up to 70%.
Right. So
that's staggering.
It's staggering. It's an epidemic.
Yeah, it is an epidemic. Those are epidemic levels for sure.
You know, I guess it's like anything else. You know, left untreated, you're asking for a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm. And it's untreated, and if it's treated, it's frequently undertreated.
Mm.
And very frequently underdiagnosed.
Wow.
Even if someone sees a dentist.
Yeah. So look, we grew up with this mantra that we're supposed to see our dentist a couple times a year, mm-hmm. every 6 months. And then we're covered. You know, brush a couple times
longer
a day, use dental floss.
No longer.
Stuff. It's not true.
Not with those statistics. Not with it being an epidemic.
Wow. And not only damage to the mouth, but we know now, we're learning increasingly that the mouth is ground zero for other systemic mm-hmm. diseases. And boy, what was the list? I got it right here. Heart attack, stroke, kidney disease, erectile dysfunction, and arthritis.
Yep.
Alzheimer's may have a connection as well.
Pancreatic cancer.
And, you know, look, I'm not a scientist, but it makes sense. I mean, a lot goes in that cavity right there.
Well,
that
it's a major pathway.
Well, periodontal disease starts off as an infection, but then the body mounts an inflammatory reaction. So it's chronic inflammation in the body, and it's byproducts, and the pathways are shared with some of these other diseases that we talked about.
So that inflammation, which when I had the inflammation, mm-hmm. is that the body's way of trying to fight it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The body mounts an inflammatory response to an infection.
But we don't really give it much of a chance to win, do we? I mean, we continue to do the same things that caused the infection in the first place.
What do you mean?
Well, we said that the mantra about going to the dentist twice a year is not really true. I mean, we start to see the signs. We don't really take the steps to fix it.
People ignore it.
Right. So it just left untreated. It's just not going to.
So it becomes chronic inflammation.
Yes.
And chronic inflammation is now the leading cause of those types of things. Not just an acute couple of weeks toothache or a little gum infection. It's chronic inflammation.
People will ignore red gums, swollen gums, bleeding gums. Anytime there's bleeding, when there's brushing or flossing, that should be a big flag.
How about that pus in there that you kind of...
Yeah, you know, that's a big flag.
I did that for a long time. I pushed it.
That's a big flag.
With my finger, I pushed the swelling away.
That's a,
you get down my throat and call it a day. You know,
that's not a red flag. That's a white flag.
Yeah, it's a surrender. You're done. But you know, and I think you said you can actually have it for many years.
Oh gosh, yes. It's painless because the infection drains, and the only time there's discomfort is if it doesn't drain. I saw a gentleman today that had an unbelievable amount of infection, and it's completely painless. He probably lost about 80% of the bone around all of his teeth.
The bone loss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's a byproduct, again, of the inflammatory response. The body destroys the bone.
So let me ask you this. I just want to make sure I understand this. You can have advanced periodontal disease, let's say, gum disease, as we call it, not have pain.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. And yet you're wreaking havoc with the rest of your body, with much of your body, possibly.
We think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the case of Louis Grizzard, that was the one. Well, that was very telling. So I met Louis Grizzard once when I was at another radio station. He died at age 47. When I met him, he was about 46, I would say. Mm-hmm. And he looked very sick. He was very frail. And his oral surgeon mm-hmm. was quoted as saying that, in his opinion, his heart disease, he had a terrible situation with heart disease, was due to the fact that he hadn't taken proper steps to ameliorate the problem that he had with his gums.
I think it was an infected wisdom tooth in his case.
Yeah.
But that was one of the rare instances where there may have been a cause and effect. A lot of times there isn't. A lot of times we really don't know what the threshold is. Is it one inflamed pocket, gum pocket? Is it 10? Is it 20?
Do you have it for 3 years or 5 years? We don't know that.
Probably
yet.
Some sort of threshold, and we just don't know what that threshold is. We just know that there are correlations with gum disease, especially moderate to advanced, which we know is very common. And could it be more common in some populations where it causes a systemic effect? Maybe someone who has a lowered immune system, maybe someone who's diabetic and has periodontal disease, which is very common. Maybe that population, there's more of an effect with the systemic negative consequences.
So can treating the periodontal disease, can that positively affect the diabetes?
For diabetes, yes.
Wow.
For diabetes, yes. Other conditions, we don't have that information yet. We can't say it. But for diabetes, we do have the information that someone with periodontal disease, if they have their periodontal disease treated and they are diabetic, they generally will see an improvement in their A1C levels, which is a measure of their ability to control their blood sugar. So much so that someone who's diet controlled can sometimes have such an effect where they might be able to withdraw one of the oral medications that they're taking. That's mm-hmm. how much of an effect it can have.
Wow.
And yet it's not recommended. I shouldn't say not recommended. It's not for the general physician out there. It's not usually something that's in their recommendation list to see a periodontist to get checked over to rule out and make sure you don't have any gum disease.
I had a physical 2.5 weeks ago. Huh? And of course, from doing the show with you, I was listening intently, waiting for him.
Oh, yeah.
For the doc to ask me. And I like this fellow very much. I think he's very good. And all he asked me was, do you see a dentist regularly?
He did ask you.
Yeah. And I said, yes. And he said, good. And I told him I just had an implant, actually. And he said, good. You know, and that was about it. But he didn't really.
That's as detailed as they got.
Yeah. And he's probably more so than others.
Yeah.
There's probably some who don't ask a thing about it.
They probably don't. But, you know, but we do know that periodontal disease is an epidemic, especially in someone who's over 65, especially if someone's diabetic, smoker, pregnant. I mean, you can go down a long list of people that are at higher risk that really should be seeing a periodontist and not just a regular dentist as well.
All right. We have to take a break, folks. When we come back, I've got a question I want to ask you now. You can ponder it during the break.
Sure.
And that is, I think we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth reviewing. And that is, all right, suppose I've got a place where I don't have a tooth. Mm-hmm. The tooth was extracted 10 years ago, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, whatever. Why can't I just leave it this way? It didn't seem to be bothering me. I don't see any problem with it. You know, it doesn't affect me chewing. You know, I got 31 other teeth. Why would I need to consider having something there such as, well, let's say an implant?
Okay? Sure.
All right, folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at Periodontist Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And visit mygumdoc.com. And just want to mention we have interest-free financing for a year. Or you can have your choice, 10% off if your treatment should exceed $2,000.
Correct.
I love that. All right, we'll be right back with Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. And, you know, the question that I had asked you, Dr. Edelstein, kind of to like a teaser, something like this, because I'm looking at gum grafting here.
Mm-hmm.
Something apropos to that. And this is a layman's question. I don't know how to ask it in a professional manner, but let's suppose I've got a space here where I had a tooth at one time. The tooth's been mm-hmm. extracted. Why do I need to? You know, and I got 31 other teeth. Let's say. In my case, I got 29 other teeth. I got 29 other teeth, yeah. But why do I need to have something there such as an implant? Why can't I just leave it go?
Well, a number of reasons. One being the teeth will eventually drift. And that drifting will cause a malalignment of the bite. It'll put more stress on the jaw joint and can cause jaw joint problems. It could put more stress on the front teeth and cause more problems with the rest of the mouth. That shifting will create periodontal pockets because of the tilted teeth.
Mm-hmm.
The upper tooth, if it's a lower tooth missing, will tend to grow into the space. And there's kind of a cascade of problems that exist. We call it posterior bite collapse because the posterior molars will tend to collapse or drift forward into the space. And that causes a cascade of bigger and problems later on that are harder to fix.
Domino effect.
Up to and including frequently orthodontics
yes.
to realign the molars.
Yeah.
Up to and including it can actually cause gum disease by having the teeth tilted and shifted. And it makes it very difficult to clean around the adjacent teeth with once someone has that tilting and shifting. It's a syndrome. This posterior bite collapse syndrome is one that we talk about frequently when two lower molars are missing.
From an expense standpoint, Isn't it more cost efficient to treat it early?
Of course it is.
Yeah, exponentially.
All right, so you meet somebody who hasn't done anything about this in years, and now they got a real problem. You just said a cascade of
yes.
problems.
And they have a real expense problem.
It's going to cost a lot of money to get it done, and it's no.
If you're talking about orthodontics and then treating the gum disease that happened as a result, and sometimes you have to shorten the opposite tooth because it's sticking up into the space, so that requires a new crown.
And sometimes the opposite tooth is rendered hopeless.
Absolutely.
If it drifts down too much.
If it's an upper tooth, posterior tooth that's been missing for a long time and now they want that dental implant, the sinus is in a much lower position. So rather than doing a minimally invasive sinus elevation, which we can do at the time of the implant placement, now we have a separate standalone, bigger deal, sinus elevation. We're all about minimally invasive techniques.
And if you don't mind me saying, so they have this problem all this year as they've neglected. Now they come to you and you tell them all the things that need to be done to make it right, okay? And you tell them what it's going to cost. And they're like upset, like it's your fault, you know?
It's a lot.
You're the messenger bringing the bad news.
It's a lot. But with cases like that, we do try to, you know, when someone has gotten to that end road, They didn't get there overnight. They're not going to be fixed overnight. So if it sounds overwhelming, if you view the big picture, yes, it can be overwhelming. But we will take it in stages.
It's in stages. Do people understand, though?
Let's rebuild back.
Do they understand that?
A little bit at a time.
Well,
yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, we help them.
Yeah. What's the priority? What's the fire we need to put out first? Do you want braces to stand these teeth back up, or might we have a plan B? Might there be something else that it can sound overwhelming. It's always better to address it sooner rather than later. But if someone gets into that corner of where they do have all of these offshoots of problems, we'll back them out of it step by step by step. And it may take a year or two or maybe three, but it's not impossible to do and treat and get them back on the road.
You know, and I know I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I'm just speaking on my own here. And that is that I have come to use you as my general dentist, Dr. Edelstein. Mm-hmm. Only because at this stage of the game with somebody who's got gum disease, as you've been treating me for, I'd rather use you. I want you to be doing the cleaning. You check it I get it cleaned every 3 months. And then you come in and you look and you see, you know what I'm saying? And then you can nip this in the bud.
Sure.
Should there be a problem there?
Well,
periodontal disease is just so common in adults that, and as a periodontist, we are the architects of the foundation. And you can't put a house upon sand. You have to have a healthy foundation to build a house. So it makes perfect sense for a periodontist to play a pivotal role in the treatment that most adults have.
Okay, but if a general dentist says, look, I don't want you going to a periodontist unless you've got periodontal disease. Well, hey, I'm 50 years old, let's say. I probably got periodontal disease.
You probably
have
it.
There's a 50% chance.
What do you mean if I have it?
Or are you likely to get it? About 50% of what we do is to keep people from needing the other 50%, which is fixing problems. 50% of what we do is preventative maintenance to help people stay out of trouble.
Is that a big part of your practice? In other words, do many people come to you in the same way that I do, just to have you... they've been treated by you, and now they kind of use you in a sense as their general dentist. It's not something you ask them to do, but something that they just kind of come to the conclusion on their own that they want you to do.
Very common. Very, very common. Because a disproportionate issue that adults will have is with the foundation and the gums. So why not go to the specialist to keep that area from deteriorating?
All right, we have to take yet another break. I'd like to come back to the things that we were talking about before. Minimally invasive techniques are the top priority for the gum doc, and among other things, gum grafting, incisionless implant placement, sinus elevation, periodontal treatment, and the perioscope, which is, speaking of game changers, perioscope, huge.
Yes.
All right, folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. I'd like you to visit mygumdoc.com for more information. They're located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking available. You validate my parking, which, you know, it's only how much can it be? I mean, a few bucks or whatever, but somehow psychologically it means a lot.
It does.
You do.
It's
sure.
A nice treat.
It's a very nice.
We enjoy doing it.
Thank you very much for doing it, too. And take advantage of the new patient special, $129. $650 worth of services, which is what I did, and be on the way to getting that periodontal disease taken care of, folks. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein straight ahead.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, we said earlier in the show, we said that what you do, which is periodontics, you know, it's not just a science, it's also an art. Right? Mm-hmm. So engineers love you because they think in terms of their left brain. So yes. They think in terms of structure and X's and O's and things like that, and you do too.
Yes.
But it's also, you do a lot of cosmetic dentistry.
We do.
All right. So I got to believe that's an art.
It is. There's a tremendous amount of art involved. And we take photographs of our work. So we have a library of before and after examples to show folks what can be we can accomplish by either adding or subtracting gum tissue or changing a smile line. So we do that quite a bit. It is an art.
So is it interesting when somebody comes to you for a cosmetic procedure, let's say, and you just kind of take a look at them first, and you look at their smile, you look at their teeth, and you're kind of visualizing, I guess, in your own mind what kinds of things you can do?
All the time.
Wow.
All the time.
And some people, even though you're a periodontist, and of course that connotes, you know, gums.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine some people, well, they have great gums, and lots of them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the gummy smile.
You know, we had a lady in here, I think I've mentioned this in a prior show, young lady, beautiful. But when she smiled, which was a lot, because she was one of those kinds of people, it's very nice. But I could see right off that there just seemed to be too much gum tissue and not enough tooth.
That's a minimally invasive procedure that we do. That sounds invasive when you talk about reducing a gummy smile and sculpting their gums away. But we actually are able to get patients through that with very little discomfort. Most of them are back to work the next day. That is one that sounds more invasive, but it is a minimally invasive procedure.
Especially,
believe it or not.
Especially the way we do it.
Yeah, believe it or not.
We actually, we get rave reviews from folks, not only about the outcome, but about the experience as well.
Isn't it amazing, too, what it can do for somebody?
Oh.
For their confidence.
Oh, it's a game changer for someone's ability to advance in their career.
Yeah, but people say to them, you know, you look different. You look really good, but there's something different about you, and I can't quite pinpoint what it is. But yeah. you look very good.
That's the kind of change you want to make. People know something's been done, but can't put their finger on it, but they know that person looks more pleasing. That's what you want.
And they'd be more attractive to their significant other and more likely to have some intimacy with their significant other if they had a more pleasant smile. There have been studies that show that, Jeff.
Well, that's reason enough right there to...
Of course it is.
...to get it done. So, among other things, when we talk about minimally invasive techniques, you know, and people who have this notion that, you know, an implant is a simple procedure that doesn't require a lot of experience and a lot of expertise. Well, among other things, there's the concept of sinus elevation. Well, I never knew about that. I mean, I know I got sinus trouble from time to time, and I know I got sinuses in there somewhere. I didn't realize that the location of the sinuses is really key to what you do.
Oh, it is. I'd probably say like about maybe 60-70% of the time, there's not quite enough room for an implant and a posterior upper tooth, and we will out of necessity have to graft to create more room and raise the floor of the sinus. And probably about 60-70% of the time, we can do that in a completely non-invasive method during the actual placement of the implant.
And is it through the same opening?
Through that same tiny
opening.
That tiny, you know, 4, 5, 6 millimeter incisionless opening, we can actually raise the sinus the same time we place the implant.
But I got to believe you got to know what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
In order to do this. This is now we're messing with somebody's sinuses.
Again, getting up to that, there's steps. There's an x-ray. There's a CT scan that takes exact measurements that tells us, yes, this is a chance. This is an opportunity. We have enough to work with, but we need more. It's knowing your bone grafting materials. It's a whole lot of
knowing the
steps and experience.
Knowing the anatomy. Knowing the technique.
Yep.
Knowing what
size implant do we want to use.
Being experienced enough to know what can go wrong and address any issue that does go wrong.
Yep.
And we can address these.
And, of course, the perioscope. How old is the perioscope?
Well, the one that we have is we've had it for 3 years, and it was pretty brand new. The new generation high-resolution perioscope has only been around about 3 years, and I had the 10th unit in the country, high-resolution perioscope. That's been a game changer for us because we could now treat periodontal disease in a non-surgical manner much more effectively than we were ever able to before.
Because you can see further down?
We can see.
You can see.
Someone who has periodontal disease has two choices, either non-surgical deep scaling or surgical approach to go deeper than where the deep scaling can reach. And the limit is generally understood in the profession to be 5 millimeters. But now we can in real time, we can use a camera to look under the gum tissue and see deeper than 5 millimeters, sometimes 6, 7, 8, 9 millimeters. We can go down to the bottom of the pocket. We could see and clean the root surface off on a much more thorough basis than we were ever able to before.
But there are very few professionals who have this technology.
Correct. It's not common at all. As a matter of fact, I think we're still the only one with a high-resolution scope in the state.
I think we are, too.
It's been a game changer for us.
Do you feel like you have a commitment, in a sense, to, because I know you're on the, I hate to use this term, you're on the cutting edge. We're spending the whole show talking about minimally invasive.
Now, we just got done talking about how the periscope is non-surgical.
Right.
And then we use the word cutting edge.
But do you have a commitment, though, to engage in the most advanced technology?
Yes, but, you know, the other side of the coin, the first generation scope, which came out about 20 years ago, I thought the resolution just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to be a game changer. So I never bought into the first generation scope because it wasn't good enough. And that company went out of business and it changed hands and evolved into this new generation.
So it was probably the right decision.
Well,
in retrospect,
I didn't want to be essentially a beta testing center for our actual patients. Sometimes it's not good to be the very first one to try something out. You know, you want to wait till there are some studies or there's some evidence or some technological advancements that have improved enough to the point or it's something's been used long enough to where it's improved enough. It's been tried and proven and can make a difference. So you don't want to be the very first for something brand new that just isn't good enough or isn't been out long enough to
evaluate the results.
Yeah.
You want the results evaluated.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
When you saw the periscope, the right one,
mm-hmm.
then you say to yourself, wow, this is it.
I can't believe this. I did. This is it. This is the one. This is something that's going to change the practice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember mentioning that to you, Sue.
Yep. It has.
And it has. It's probably reduced the amount of surgery to treat periodontal disease in our practice. It's probably reduced it at least 40-50%.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Probably even more, Dr.
Maybe
Lestine,
more.
Seriously.
Maybe more. There's still some conditions
where
someone does need a surgical approach.
And, yeah.
But we've reduced the amount of surgery significantly to treat periodontal disease in the office.
You know, and it's still upsetting, though, that the average person out there, number one, they think a dentist is a dentist is a dentist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, well, I've got a dentist. So I'm on some insurance plan or something, and they assign me a dentist. I've got a dentist. I've got dental care. But, I mean, a dentist is not a dentist is not a dentist. I'm sorry.
It's true.
I mean, it's very true. The other thing that's upsetting, I guess, is that so many people, they still look at pain as being the indicator that they need to get help.
Yes.
When, you know, pain, you know, it's just like, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, you know, if you don't mind me being a little graphic, like if you have blood in your urine, well, you should go see a urologist. But a lot of urologists will say it's very late. It's very late in the game when you've already got that kind of a symptom that maybe you should have, you know, you were having frequent urination mm-hmm. without the blood. Maybe you should have come then.
Right.
Now we've got a problem that a very serious problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just seems to me like, aren't there a lot of situations in which there's a problem that's rather ominous, but it's not at the point yet, though, where there's, overt pain?
Frequently.
I mean, it's...
I think when your gums bleed, when you brush them, people say that every day. Oh, those are just my gums. They've always done that.
Yeah, I brush real hard.
You've always had chronic inflammation. You've always had chronic periodontal disease.
That's definitely a sign, though, that you need to get help, isn't it?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, yes.
Even if you don't have
any,
you don't have any pain, though. You're just having
a
little blood.
If you have a bad taste, if you have bad breath, often it's not just there's food in your mouth that left an odor. You have chronic inflammation. You know, if you do go to a dentist and you have any kind of pocket depth, get it checked out. Those are all very early indicators.
Yeah, you mentioned something a minute ago I'd like to touch on if we have a few minutes.
Yeah.
And that was someone on a list, an insurance list. And I think it's important to talk for a minute about that, because what that list represents is a discount list, period. And would you go to a restaurant because it was on a discount list? Would you shop because it's the most deeply discounted place to buy something? Would you get your hair cut at the biggest discounted place to get a haircut? Or buy the least expensive car on the road, or buy the or live in the least expensive house or apartment you can find? And if the answer to all of those things in someone's life is yes, I would do that, then they should see someone on the list. Mm. Because if the answer is no, if they would rather shop at Macy's as opposed to the dollar store, or they would rather go to a individual hairdresser as opposed to, you know, Super
Cuts or Us,
then they really can't go to someone on the list because they want something better than the least expensive thing they can find. And there is just as much difference in dentistry as there is in these other
service-oriented
endeavors that I'm mentioning. If someone just goes to, you know, Piccadilly Cafeteria, I pick them. I don't think they're in business anymore. They actually weren't bad, but it was very inexpensive. You know, as opposed to a restaurant where they can sit down at a table and be served. I mean, that's the difference in dentistry.
And by the way, these are things that aren't nearly as important to me as my health.
Correct.
Yeah.
But people don't know that. The insurance companies, third parties, they'll call it a preferred provider list. It's not. It's a discount list. That's the only criteria that they use.
Wow.
It's not a preference. It's a discount.
Wow.
It's a discount list. That it's a complete misnomer to call it a preferred provider list.
We prefer not to be the discount dentist.
Yes.
I mean, you know, yes, really because, the ones because, that aren't because, on because, the
because,
preferred
because
list.
Because guess what, Jeff? Then we couldn't do incisionless implant placements. Then we couldn't do...
We couldn't do the periscope.
We couldn't utilize gum grafting procedures that are less invasive or use growth factors like we did for you. We couldn't do that stuff. We would do the bare basics procedures. We would use generic implants. There are generic implants today made in China. We prefer to use name brand implants.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, but I don't want to go to Docs or Us. Or what did you say? Cuts or Us?
That's what it should be called, yeah. To be honest with you.
That's a shame. Well, that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, located at Periodontist Bruce Edelstein, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, office right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. I want you to visit mygumdoc.com, folks. Take advantage of their new patient special, $650 worth of services for $129. Mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, has always been a great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.